Education at Chico State, offering online graduate test preparation courses for those seeking an advanced degree in a wide range of fields, including law and business. Sign up for a complimentary strategy session to help you prepare to take the GRE, GMAT, or LSAT at rce.csuchico.edu. Thank you once again for tuning in to the Chico News and Review Show, and thank you KZFR 90.1 FM for hosting us each Thursday at 5:30 p.m. And of course, thank you to Cat Depot for our theme music that opens and closes this show. And a reminder, the March print edition of the Chico News and Review is out now and available in racks all over Butte County. And of course, you can see the paper online as well at chico.newsreview.com. Take care.
Hello, this is Ken Logan, and you're listening to KZFR Radio 90.1 FM in Chico, California. It's listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Please stay tuned for the next hour because you'll get to listen to The Doctor's Inn. Let's listen to a little music here first.
I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, son, you look older than me, and I'm 71. You're falling apart, you're not living right. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle, and you're losing the fight. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, boy, your body is a temple. It's not a toy. Fill up this here paper cup and give it to the nurse. Don't spill it now. I went to the doctor. Doctor said, friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. You better get better, else you're gonna get worse. Oh, I went to the doctor.
Ooh, hello. This is Ken Logan again, and I'm trying to do the best I can with these controls. So, I'm Ken Logan. I'm a family practice doctor here in Chico, California. And the third Thursday of the month, I do the hour called The Doctor's Inn. And that's what you're listening to right now. And on The Doctor's Inn, I like to do radio shows that are that have to do with issues of health and or medical subjects. And I'd like to have you let me know if there's a subject you would like me to cover. And you could email me, actually. My email address is klogan.md@yahoo.com. The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, your state and local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. Let's see. To stay in the know or to have your event listed, visit friendsoftheart.net. By Dahlmeier Insurance Agency, an independent agent and retail broker since 1948, Dahlmeier Insurance provides a range of coverage options from home and auto insurance to farm and ranch coverage. You can reach Dahlmeier Insurance in Chico at 342-6421 and in Orville at 533-3424 or at chicoinsurance.com. Now, today's show, what I'm going to do on today's show is I'm going to talk about three or four different subjects. I'm going to break up the hour. The first subject, I'm going to revisit something called food insecurity and talk about a Democracy Now! Show. I'm going to give my opinion on the subject briefly. I won't take a whole lot of time with that food insecurity subject this show. Then I'm going to move on to some tidbits about the COVID virus issue. And then related to that, I'm going to talk about stress and some advice about stress and just discuss stress a bit. And then morphing from the issue of stress to one stress potential consequence, and that is hypertension or high blood pressure. And then finally end up with a bit on, I hope I have time, for Medicare for All, and specifically because of the recently introduced in the House of Representatives, the Medicare for All Act of 2021 by Representative Jayapal and Representative Dingell. I really do want to talk about that. First, I'm going to let you know that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Food insecurity. In other words, not having enough food. People not having enough food in the world. Not only this country, but in the world. I want you to know that on Democracy Now!, about 3 or 4 months ago, Amy Goodman interviewed a gentleman named Ricardo Salvador, the director of the Food and Environment Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists, which is an international organization of scientists. Union of Concerned Scientists. And this speaker was, this director of Food and Environment Program was Ricardo Salvador. If you were interested in looking that up, Googling that on Democracy Now! He spoke about the issue of food insecurity in the world and specifically stated how, quote, it's often the result of things we do to each other deliberately, end of quote. And he means what we do to each other deliberately, mainly as in governments and countries and militaries and that kind of thing around the world. But there's a couple things I want to specifically mention. First of all, food insecurity, in other words, making situations be such that in our country or in the world where there is not enough food for certain people, is distinctly a health issue. I'm a medical doctor. This is the doctor's in. It's a medical issue. I, as an American physician in this world, think it's important to point that fact out. Specifically from the standpoint of our own government, the United States of America, which is responsible for both creating food insecurity in different places in the world and also facilitating insecurity in places in the world. Yes. Two specific examples of this embarrassing fact where our own country, the United States, is responsible for restricting, inhibiting, and disallowing food to civilians, that is, both adults and children. Therefore, some of the adults are elderly adults, and then children. In our own actions in Yemen, that is, supporting Saudi Arabia's blockade of goods and foods into Yemen, we are, that leads to food insecurity and hunger. And that's a health issue. We are responsible for our part in that in the United States. Restrictions we in the United States unilaterally impose on the country of Iran. That, in my mind, as a medical doctor, is also a health issue, a medical issue. I have to state, as an American physician, that this is an inhumane example of what I would call torture to children and other civilians in those countries via actions and inactions of our country, the United States. It's wrong, and it's unethical. It's immoral. I, Kenneth Logan, as a physician in the United States, am not proud of being an American relative to this type of distinct activity in our country, and I oppose these actions and these lack of actions by our country. We, as citizens of this country, should insist that this type of starvation treatment of civilians be stopped. And I'm going to say again, the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. I had to get that off my chest as a doctor. Now I want to go on and talk a bit about this little virus thing in the community, in the world, called COVID virus. It's not a little virus. It's not a little problem. It's a big problem. First, I'm going to talk about where we sit in Butte County, Tehama County, Glynn County. And the tallies of cases are now have entered into something called a seven-day average of cases per 100,000. Butte County, we're at 3 cases per 100,000, seven-day average. Glynn County, 10 cases per 100,000. Tehama County, 7 cases per 100,000. The number of cases in the hospital as of yesterday at Inlow were 8 cases in the hospital, which is it's the lowest I've seen over the last several months. None on ventilators currently. Now, that's just an update, but the virus is there. It kills us. It maims us. There are long-term complications in some, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute. But prevention, we just can't say it enough. Prevention is key here. And specifically that means, still, we need to all wear masks, socially distance ourselves 6 feet or more from other individuals when we're out in public, and masks when we're out in public. And no large groups should be happening at this point. That's still the case. It's important, and it's important for prevention reasons. The other important point relative to prevention and this virus have to do with vaccinations. They're important. I'm in favor of them. I got the Moderna vaccine myself. I did well with it, the 2-shot series. There are 3 vaccinations available now in the United States. The 2-shot series of Moderna or the 2-shot series of Pfizer and the 1-shot by Johnson & Johnson Company. In those studies, none of those patients who were in the studies, in the small percentage of patients in those studies that then, through community spread, did get obtaining it in their communities, did get infected with COVID. None of those that had been vaccinated died from the disease. None had severe disease. So even the small percentage of people who do get COVID infections in those who are vaccinated are not getting severe disease, apparently. Those vaccinations are important, and I think they're important for personal reasons, in other words, for you protecting yourself, but also just as important is protecting others in the community. If you're healthy and you say, I don't think if I got COVID, I would get very sick. I'm not too worried about it. Yes. But you passing it to someone else who passes it to someone's grandma who dies, that's not wise. That's not good social activity, is it? So it's for personal reasons to get vaccinated, and it's for community and world reasons to stop this virus that I advise we all get vaccinated against COVID. Then let's not forget that a small percentage of the people who get COVID infections get long-term symptoms or long-term problems. Medical and psychological consequences are possible in a small percentage of people. And when we see this, it's in either lungs or brain or heart, largely. There are other tissues of the body that are affected in long term as well, but those are the main ones: lung, brain, and heart. And we all need to know this and understand this potential here. I'm not trying to worry you, but I just want us all to understand that and watch for these. If you've been one who has obtained the COVID infection, and prevention, remember, is key in this virus. But of course. So it's a fact to be understood by all of us that COVID infections in themselves that have or will occur, and COVID infections that have or will occur in your loved ones or close friends, we need to understand that these long-term consequences in a small percentage of people can occur. I'm not trying to worry you about it. I just want you to know that that can be a fact. So that's just one more reason to get vaccinated, and that's one more reason to wear a mask, stay socially distanced, and not meet in large groups. This whole fact of prevention hit me the other day when I was interacting with a patient of mine on the phone recently, and I had the stark realization that indeed some people have difficulty or may not even have the ability to wrap their brain around the concept of this virus, that is, not able to conceive of this phenomenon, this thing that you cannot see, can't see the virus. To understand it is something that to be respected and to watch out for or change their behavior for. Some people are not there in their brain. They're not able to wrap their brain around it, it seems to me. I suspect there's another number of ways to try to understand the minds of this inability, such as a reaction to something that is based in fear. Some people react to fear by things such as denial, or as this patient of mine called this a hoax, this viral thing a hoax. Other ways of understanding the minds of people who seem to be in denial may not be actual denial at all, however, but rather there some people probably are unable to have their mind think in what we call abstract thought. So viruses that you can't see, you need to be able to pull into function an area of your brain where abstract thought is able. It involves, I think, a certain level of trust and belief in something that is not tangible. That concept and that idea may be difficult for people. Bringing that bit of abstract thought or idea into the place of reality in someone's mind can be challenging. In all of us, possibly to one degree or another, it can be challenging. And an interesting fact about the particular patient of mine that I was talking to by phone is that nonetheless he does have the ability for some elements or realms of abstract thought, because he is a person of, I would call, faith or a religious faith. So it was very challenging for me in speaking with this person. So this person refuses to wear a mask. He's not going to wear masks or get vaccinated. He's a great guy. He's a great human being. For me, it involves me stepping back, though, when I'm talking with him, doing my best to understand what's going on in his brain and what his thoughts are and his beliefs are. And it's a challenge. And it could be a challenge for you relative to dealing with you yourself or with family members or loved ones. But I think it's important to not be judgmental to them or blaming to them, but rather be understanding to them. It's challenging. The human brain is interesting. So understand them, love them, and do your best to convince them at times, but don't be overly judgmental or angry with them, I hope. Okay, now, I want to talk about the stresses of our time. And I want to talk about them because I want to talk about things, how I'd like us to respond as individuals. So again, there's many things to be stressed about nowadays. The COVID scenario is the biggie now. But the recent fires, including the ones in 2018 in Paradise, the economic stresses of the time and job loss, et cetera, money problems, the inability to, you know, meet with family and loved ones, that's stressful. Inability to travel, all these activities that bring you joy otherwise before. And politically based stresses, yeah, all of these stresses. So, you know, I want you to know it's normal. As I've said before, it's normal to feel stressed during these times. It's a good idea to identify that, yes, as normal, but then also to don't forget to do things for yourself, acts of caring for yourself, such as interacting with loved ones and friends by telephone or computer or however you can. Make sure your body stays active, like walking, bicycling, or do gardening. Spring is here. Maybe not out in the garden today on a rainy day, but getting your hands into the soil. Eating wisely and regularly. Staying connected with your healthcare providers, of course. And if you're a spiritual person, of course, do those connections often and regularly as well. I wanted to say another little tidbit relative to the COVID vaccination and eligibility issue thereof. In the California Medical Association news blurb just within the last day or two, they stated that if for people aged younger than 65, in other words, between age 16 and 64, remember, the vaccines to date are not given to children less than age 16. We don't have data on that yet. However, from age 16 to 64, those aren't on the list yet, right? So, but the advice by the California Medical Association is if you have ongoing chronic or certain medical conditions, that self-attesting to that fact that you have certain, you know, you have diabetes or other medical conditions, self-attesting to that at places where vaccinations are given, theoretically allow you to indeed obtain vaccination, even though, or vaccinations, depending on which one's being used, in that 16 years of age to 64 years of age, age range. That's a move in the right direction on vaccinating people with younger than 65 with chronic medical conditions. I see a lot of patients with diabetes, and they've been asking me that question. Stress in the human body, such as currently and other times. One of the consequences of stress, of course, is could be high blood pressure or hypertension, you know? And remember, hypertension or high blood pressure often can run in families. So if there are family members, parents or siblings of yours that have high blood pressure issues, then it's best that you get evaluated for high blood pressure. I want to say what that is. You know, hypertension. Hyper means too much. Tension means tightness or uptightness. The other name for this hypertension, of course, is high blood pressure. And what this means to us in the medical world is that the pressure inside the arteries of our body is higher than it should be in order to remain healthy. What are arteries? Arteries constitute the part of our blood vessel system that carries the blood from the heart to all the tissues of our body, carrying it to our brains, our muscles, our skin and organs, to everything in us. And all the parts of our body, of course, needs fresh blood carried to them every second of your life. Fresh blood means the blood that has, it is oxygenated from the lungs. So after the blood is goes out to the tissues, it returns to the heart and gets pumped to the lungs and gets rejuvenated with oxygen again, and then is pumped by the heart to the out to the body. Well, those arteries that carry the blood to the tissues of the body is where we measure the thing called blood pressure. So it's an in order to for these the pressure inside these arteries to move the blood along everywhere where it needs to go to all the tissues of the body, it has to be not too low. It has to be of a certain level to keep moving that blood along. But you don't want the pressure to be too high because that can be lead to problems in various areas of the body, specifically to problems in the arteries themselves, problems with the heart. Remember, the heart's a muscle. So it has to pump blood out to the artery, through the arteries and into the heart and all that. I mean, in the lungs and all that. And if when it's pumping blood into those artery, into that artery system, if the blood pressure, the pressure that that heart is pumping blood against or into is high, too high, that makes the heart have to work harder to get it through that system of high pressure. Through that system of high pressure, the heart working so hard at that over time can do damage to the heart. Not only overworking if you have a tendency genetically or otherwise for a heart attack, you know, you don't want to overwork your heart. The other thing that happens for overworked hearts is something we call heart failure is possible as you age. And that's sometimes we call that congestive heart failure. But the idea is that the heart can poop out, where it's not able to, that muscle of the heart is not able to push the blood out as well as it used to. And again, high blood pressure over years can lead to this congestive heart failure, unfortunately. So it's important to pay attention if you have high blood pressure, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about what to do about that. By the way, other places that high blood pressure can lead to problems in, you know, it can increase the likelihood for a heart attack, which means a myocardial infarction. It can increase the likelihood for a stroke, which is a blood vessel problem in the brain. And it distinctly can lead to the likelihood of the kidneys to fail, or kidney failure, or renal failure. And they can get to a point where the kidneys are the organs that filter our blood, filter stuff out that needs to be at certain levels in the bloodstream, and certain things need to get urinated out. Well, that filtering job can decrease over years of high blood pressure and lead to kidney failure. Anyway, so therefore, there's some bad consequences to having high blood pressure, that pressure in our arteries over time. So if you got high blood pressure and you're doing some testing of your blood pressure at your provider's office, or you could, another place to get screened for high blood pressure besides your healthcare provider's office is some of the pharmacies have a blood pressure cuff in near their pharmacy. I don't know how that's going now with COVID, but so I can't be, to be honest with you, I'm not sure how that's going, if those are available now with COVID being present. But certainly your healthcare provider can. For testing yourself at home, if you have high blood pressure, or if you have a high family history of high blood pressure, hypertension, testing, certainly if you have high blood pressure, following your own blood pressure at home is such a great thing to do, you know, because blood pressure is something that goes up and down depending on what you're doing and where you are. And sometimes when people go into the doctor's office, they're a bit nervous, or when they go out in public, they're a bit nervous, and their blood pressure can rise for that reason. What we really care about is mostly what the blood pressure is most of the time, or other times at least. And so home testing is a cool thing to do. So I want to talk about it a bit here. Because it has to be done in order to be reliable and accurate as possible. There's some things that I think are important for me as a doc to let you, the public, know about. It can be very useful. I have high blood pressure myself, and I follow my blood pressure at home. It can be done. Blood pressure testing can be done fairly easily by using battery-powered digital readout type blood pressure machines. Little gizmos, little gadgets. We'll call them in the business. We call them blood pressure cuffs, CUFFS. But a blood pressure machine or blood pressure cuff. You can get those battery-powered digital readout blood pressure cuffs for about somewhere between $25 to $35 on Amazon or at one of your local pharmacies. They're around. It's my opinion that it's best to get one that is for the arm, the upper arm, not to get a cuff for the wrist. The wrist ones are not as accurate. I had a cardiologist teach me that in the recent past. So I do not advise the wrist blood pressure testing, but instead a cuff, blood pressure cuff for the upper arm. Now, if you already have a wrist blood pressure cuff for the wrist instead of the upper arm, when I'd say, okay, go ahead and use it, keep using it. But, you know, because you can certainly, even though it may be less accurate, you can certainly see if your blood pressure's staying relatively okay or going up, 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 and then you need to do something about it, like go to the doctor and get, you know, again and have them test it. But if you are going to use a wrist one, just make sure you're, I don't like the idea of bending your arm and holding it on to your chest. I would rather you had your arm extended out and rested up about chest height on a pillow or something. For better accuracy, that would be my advice if you're using a wrist one. however, I prefer that people get, and that I use myself, a blood pressure cuff for the upper arm. So how and where to place the cuff on your upper arm is important to pay attention to. First of all, if you have a large arm, such as a very muscular arm, or if you're obese, you know, if your arm is large from obesity, the cuff, the blood pressure cuff, the thing that actually goes around your arm part, has to be large enough. If you get one that's too small for your arm, it can be less accurate and actually read higher blood pressure than it actually really is. So how do you know if it's the right size on your arm? Well, that's a good question. So the part of the cuff that goes around your arm, there in that thing that goes around your arm, the part of it, there's part of it that fills with air. When you push the button, the machine fills that part with air. And that part that fills with air when you push the button needs to at least go around your arm, two-thirds of the way around your upper arm. If it's shorter than that, and it doesn't go around at least two-thirds or more of the diameter around your arm, it's too small, and it may read you higher than you really are. And that is important. So you may, if you have a larger arm, you may need to get what's called a large adult size cuff as opposed to a regular sized adult cuff. If you have, if you buy it from one of the pharmacies in the area, you might could speak to the pharmacist about that if you had questions. Once you purchase one, it's a good idea to take it with you when you go to your doctor or other healthcare provider so that you can compare with readings with what they get, and so that you can make sure that you're doing it okay, et cetera. I don't mean to make this sound complicated about testing your own blood pressure, because it isn't complicated. I just want you to make sure that the sizing thing is okay, if especially if you have a large arm. Okay, and then when you're doing the testing of your blood pressure, you want to be sitting calmly, resting or relaxing. with your arm not down at your side, but rather up a bit, like sitting on a pillow alongside you, or on a countertop, or something like that, not at your side. Make sure that, of course, the cuff that goes around the upper part of your arm, and make sure that the lower part of that, where it's nearing the little crease in the upper arm, you know, on the opposite side of your arm as the elbow is, that little crease on the inner side of your arm, make sure that the lower part of that part of the cuff that you put on your arm is as close to that crease in your arm as possible. Don't allow the cuff to be way up the arm, the lower part of the cuff to be way up the arm. In other words, you want the cuff, the part that's on your arm, to pretty much include all of the biceps muscle. If the bottom part of that cuff is halfway or partway up the biceps muscle, instead of down lower to the crease in your arm area, that again may read higher than it your blood pressure really is. So for accuracy, placing it correctly on your arm with that lower part of the cuff being as close to the crease on your arm, you know, the opposite side of the elbow, you know, the inner part of your arm, the crease there, have the lower part of that cuff be as close to that as possible. So there you are, sitting there being relaxed, and you put your cuff on your arm, and then I seriously advise you taking a big, relaxful breath in and out gently, and then do the testing then. And while you are testing, don't hold your breath, but actually continue with regular, relaxful breathing. So, are you sitting? Have the cuff on correctly? Take a big, relaxful breath in and out, and then do regular, relaxfully so, breathing while you do the testing. So there again, I'm not trying to make this complicated, but rather I just want you to hear those few tips about accuracy. If you're hearing this from me today and you still have questions about this technique or thing that I'm talking about blood pressure testing, well, ask your provider, your healthcare provider, about questions about that, if you have them. If you have still questions, like you can't talk to your provider or whatever, you could actually email me a simple question like that. I'm not your doctor, probably, so I won't be talking to you specifically, giving you doctor's advice, but I will give you a general advice. If you're listening to this today, so what I'm saying is, if you're listening to this today and you're going, what? What do you mean by that? I'm confused. Well, you can email me with that question. Say that you heard it on the Doctor's Inn and that you have this question. My email address is klogan.md@yahoo.com. And K Logan means, my first name's Kenneth, so it's the letter K, all lowercase, the letter K, and then Logan, L-O-G-A-N, and then the letter lowercase, M-D. So klogan.md@yahoo.com. And again, I'm not your doctor, but I would give you information if you needed something sorted out about what I talked about today on high blood pressure and blood pressure testing. Now what am I going to do? Well, I think I could, if I could get that to come back up on the screen, let's see if I can. Hang on a minute. I'm going to try to... Well, I was going to pull up a song. Maybe I won't. Now let me talk about Medicare for All. So, by the way, you're listening to The Doctor's Inn on KZFR 90.1 FM, Chico, California. It's a listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And I'm Ken Logan. I'm a family practice doctor here in Chico, California. And I do The Doctor's Inn the third Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 in the evening, the third Thursday of each month. Hang on a minute. I'm still playing with the computer. See if that works. Oh, yeah, good. Huh. Do you want to hear a little music for a minute? Let's try that. See if I can do that.
Dear Doctor, take one, right.
Oh, help me, please, Doctor, I'm damaged. There's a pain where there once was a heart. It's sleeping, it's beating. Can't you please take it out and preserve it right there in that jar? Help me, please, Mama, I'm sickening. It's today, that's the day I'm to plunge. Oh, the gal I'm to marry is a bull-legged sow. I've been soaking up drink like a sponge. Don't you worry, get dressed, cry my mother. As you fly me with bourbon so sour, pour your socks up, put your suit on, comb your long hair down, for you will be wet in the hour.
Okay, I'm back on, and this is Ken Logan and the Doctor's Inn, and I'm going to talk about Medicare for All. I'm going to tell you what that means, and I'll tell you why it's important to talk about it. And here's the deal. Medicare for All is the terminology. In the past couple of days in Congress, in the House of Representatives, Representative Pramila Jayapal, a Democrat from Washington, and Representative Debbie Dingell, D-I-N-G-E-L-L, Democrat from Michigan, introduced a bill called the Medicare for All Act of 2021. There have been other Medicare for All proposals over the years, but this is the current one. I'm going to talk about what this means, why it's important, and what it would mean for all of us as fellow citizens in this country relative to our availability of health care, this Medicare for All Act of 2021. I'm in favor of it. Interestingly, I got to tell you this, Representative Debbie Dingell's husband, Representative John Dingell, before he died, was also a representative in the House of Representatives, also from Michigan, and he was an advocate of similar health care system reform, that is, health care availability for all of us in this country. That's her husband, Representative Debbie Dingell, who was co-introducer of this current Medicare for All Act of 2021. And then further interestingness is, so her husband was John Dingell, Representative John Dingell, and then he died, unfortunately, but his father, John Dingell Sr., was also a representative in the House of Representatives and was also active in health care reform back in the days of President Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So those Dingells, they're advocates for health care for all of us. I was impressed when I read that. They're not giving up. Good. Pramila, Representative Jayapal as well here. Okay, let me lay out some definitions about some of this terminology mainly. First of all, what this discussion is about the payment structure or situation in our country relative to our health care. This is the major roadblock to the availability of health care in our country. has to do with the ability to pay, and this system that we want to have would be equal and appropriate health care for everyone. That's my opinion, of course. However, we're talking about the payment structure when we're talking about the Medicare for All, and so the roadblock, the roadblock is about the role that money plays in being the roadblock, and we also can call that the insurance roadblock. How that plays relative to whether or not you or anyone else here can get health care available to them. The payment, the health insurance structure of our healthcare system in our country, well, it isn't a structure at all. That's a misnomer because it's a chaotic mess. There's no structure to it. If we look at as a whole, it's chaotic. And it leaves millions of us without medical care. And it's a system that often puts private health insurance companies and their various levels of administrators able to wield power over healthcare systems' availability to us in reality. So let me first explain more details about our current system. And I want you to know, and I want to point this out, that you're listening to me. I'm a family doctor. I'm a medical doctor. And I've been practicing medicine in this country for the last 39 years, so almost 40 years. I didn't just now start experiencing this problem where money gets in the way of healthcare in this country. I've been trying to function in it as a medical doctor, trying to help what by now is thousands of patients of mine over that many years, 40 years. And it's absolutely frustrating. It's been absolutely frustrating, and it still is. The system is absolutely wrong. Money, and therefore the payment of medical care, has been and is a stumbling block. It's not the quality of care available in this country, which I think is, my opinion is, we have good quality of medical care in this country. But it's rather the fact that millions of us, and that's millions of us in this country as Americans, do not have access to medical care for that money issue reason, health insurance issue reason. And at the center of the roadblock lies, in my opinion, the for-profit of the problems is a major part of the chaos has to do with the for-profit health insurance industry. And by the way, it's absolutely the part of the chaotic system that we can change. And we can change the entire system I'm going to talk about in a minute. So let's look at it from the practical standpoint. Healthcare, I say, and many of us say, is a right, not a money-related privilege. Healthcare is a right for all of us in this country, not a money-related privilege. And the structure of our healthcare system's payment system needs to be structured to accommodate that fact. However, we live in a capitalistic society where money is of greater importance to some, as opposed to the actual human beings themselves. We can't have this profit motive being the driving factor, though, the most important factor, relative to having healthcare available to us or not. In order for us to have equal and appropriate health care available to all of us, we need there to be no for-profit health insurance industry as a middle person, often in the driver's seat. Nope. Realizing that those for-profit health insurance companies make their profit on the health care that they do not pay for. Actually, paying for health care dips into their profit. And this is something that they absolutely do not allow. The premiums over time, as you know, if you're paying them to a private health insurance company, keep going up. They're not losing money. They are not losing money. They don't even out with our horrible economic times. They're always making money. That's how for-profit industries like that function. That's the way it is. We should, however, in this country, construct our payment system for healthcare differently. so that all of us, regardless of our income, regardless of our wealth, regardless of our poverty, regardless of who we happen to know, or regardless of whether or not we're in Congress or in the House of Representatives or the Senate and have an excellent health care policy plan, we have to set it up so that we have equal health care available to all of us. We don't have other needed services structured that way, such as, you know, if your house goes on fire, the fire department doesn't see, hey, you got insurance or not for me to come out and put out your fire. So why do we do it for health care? Health care is a right in this country, not a money-related privilege. Let me lay out the chaotic system currently of payment system relative to our health care in our country now. Medicare, what is that? It's for those age 65 and older, and some people who are younger but have some disabling medical conditions. So that's Medicare currently. Medicaid, which in our country we call Medi-Cal. In California here, we call it Medi-Cal, but in other states in the country, it's called Medicaid. And that's for those of us who find themselves in a certain level of poverty. So we have Medicare, Medicaid, or Medi-Cal. And then we have the VA system, or Veterans Administration system, for some of the veterans in our country. Not all the veterans, but some of the veterans in our country. I'm a veteran, but I've never had medical care from the VA. And then there's also the military health system. In other words, all people on active duty and certain aspects, I suspect, of reserve duty, I'm not sure about that, have availability to the military health system, of course. And then there is private health insurance. That is for-profit insurance industry. And that is through your employer or through you as an individual through the private health insurance marketplace. And then private pay, some people who don't have any insurance and they have to pay out of pocket. Then there are some community clinics in certain areas of our country in what we call what are deemed as underserved areas where they will see people in a combination of private pay and government subsidized Medicaid system for certain patients. So it's all chaotic. That's a chaotic system. So for the Medicare for All system, or sometimes we call it improved Medicare for All, would put all of us people, regardless of our ability to pay, into one organized payment system. Nobody left out. Nobody left out. And the profit motive of private health insurance would not be present, or at least if they were still around, it would be a fraction of what is currently happening. The quality of care would be standardized by we the people and healthcare professionals, not the payers such as health insurance companies. And we would all be able to negotiate as a body of humans for all the people of our country for the costs relative to prescription drugs. We would be able to bargain as a massive everybody market. Instead of our current hodgepodge, non-bargaining, out-of-control prescription costs currently to all of us. I'm not sure exactly what would happen with the VA system, depending on the... I think it would likely continue as well as the military healthcare system. But the rest of us would all be covered from birth to death under our Medicare for All system. The healthcare system itself otherwise would be unchanged. That is, the actual healthcare professionals such as me, doctors, nurses, labs, x-ray departments, etc., would remain as they are, private entities, just whatever entity they are now. Therefore, this Medicare for All system would not be socialized medicine. Let me say that again. The Medicare for All system would not be socialized medicine. Britain, for instance, does have socialized medicine system where the majority of doctors, for instance, work for their federal healthcare department. That is not the case that we're talking about for Medicare for All system. I also, you know, I'm, I wanted to talk a little bit more, but I'm gonna have to get close to quitting here. And so I'll tell you, I work once a week, Sunday afternoons at the free clinic, Shalom Free Clinic here in Chico. And the reason we have it is because we don't have a Medicare for All system. There are people who drop through the cracks, who don't have health care available to them because they can't afford it and they don't have insurance. Or they have insurance and they can't afford to use it. And so I would very much like to not work on Sunday afternoons at the Shalom Free Clinic because we had indeed healthcare, Medicare for all. That's what I hope for. So we all, as doctors, we can all take care of our patients and each equally and appropriately without being inhibited and limited because of the healthcare payment system in our country. Medicare for all, it's important. And again, Representative Jayapal and Dingell in the House of Representatives just put forth the Medicare for All Act of 2021. I hope it passes and we get it. I think Biden is a little wishy-washy on it, but he needs to agree with it, and the Senate does too. Anyway, hey. The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts. Wait a minute, I already did that. Let me do another one. Generous contributions of supporters and by Baird Roofing Company. For a hole in your roof or a whole new roof, Baird Roofing Company has been serving Butte County for more than 30 years. Whether it's an existing structure or new construction, Baird Roofing has got you covered. More information at BairdRoofingCompany.com. And Baird is B-A-I-R-D and then Roofing Co, C-O. So BairdRoofingCo.com. And at 342-1631. And by Tires Plus, complete auto repair on the corner of 6th and Broadway. The technicians at Tires Plus provide complete auto services, including repairs, maintenance, check engine light, brakes, tires, to keep you safe. Located at 624 Broadway Street in Chico. And they also complete auto repair can be reached at 342-8338 and on Facebook. And that's called Tires Plus, complete auto repair. Thank you to the underwriters, and thank you to you for your donations to this station, KZFR. 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Let me see if I can figure out how to get you some music on this here thing. Let's see how that goes.
Katie tried, I was halfway crucified. I was on the other side of no tomorrow. You walked in and my life began again. Just when I'd spent the last piastre I could buy.